You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. On an evening in May, 34 years ago, pitching for the Cubs in San Diego, future Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins notched his 3,000th career strikeout. He would finish his career with 3,192, 267 wins, including six consecutive 20-win seasons, 47 shutouts, and to this day, he owns the single-season record for strikeouts with the Cubs. Here with us, the only pitcher to strike out more than 3,000 and walk less than 1,000, we're honored to have with us Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins. Fergie, so great to have you. Before we talk about number 3,000, let's talk about number one. 17 years prior.
My first strikeout?
Yes, sir. 17 years prior, September 65, you're a rookie with the Philadelphia Phillies and you get Dick Groat. What do you remember?
Well, I threw my first hard fastball in. He kind of stared at me. You know, I'm 21 years old. You know, I'm not sure if I was nervous, but I know I had a lot of adrenaline going. But three pitches later, I struck him out. But, you know, the nice thing about it is, you know, I was a pitcher that could throw strikes. I had pretty good command of my pitches, and it seemed to work for me.
I'll say. The 7th to 3,000, joining Walter Johnson, Bob Gibson, Gaylord Perry, Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, and Steve Carlton. That's pretty fancy company, Fergie.
Well, yes. You know, when I achieved it, there were a lot of reporters letting me know what kind of company I was in, and I was pretty proud of that fact that a lot of these competitors and the names you mentioned are the guys I pitched against. So it was a fun evening there in San Diego, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
I want you to tell the story that you've told me in the past about growing up in Chatham, Ontario, and how you lived near railroad tracks. And maybe what you did as a kid lent itself to this incredible control that you were blessed with.
Well, yeah, 56, maybe 57. I started pitching at the age of like 15, 16 years old. And we lived in the east end of town, right as you go out of town towards the country. There was a spur, which is a railroad spur for the Chesapeake and Ohio. And at the end of that spur was a place called Terry's Coal Yard. And they used to, the spur used to bring these boxcars in, and the coal chute was, oh, I don't know, 60, 70 yards away. And there was a contest I used to have throwing rocks or coal to hit this ice chute. And I could probably do it 8 out of 10 times. And they used to have a lot of competition with the neighborhood kids that were throwing against me. And I used to win most of the contests. But that was an important thing, I think, as a kid growing up, little habits that you had. And I wasn't afraid to throw long distance, and it seemed to work for me.
What kind of hockey player were you up there?
I was a decent player. I could really skate well. I was a defenseman. I kind of used my ability to make the other opponent come through me. I was taught that way, make them come through your stick or your body. I wasn't really a goal scorer, but I enjoyed the game. I think maybe at the age of 16, 17, maybe with some more coaching, I could have been a decent hockey player. But baseball entered the picture. Gene DeJure was an area scout. He said that the best opportunity for me to possibly to be a professional athlete was to learn how to pitch and to pitch effectively.
And the Philadelphia Phillies signed you to a contract.
Yeah, I was 18 years old. I graduated high school in 62, signed a contract with the Phillies, and went to play ball in Miami, Florida.
And then made it to the major leagues, and as a reliever, you're in 8 games for the Phillies before they trade you for an elderly starter named Bob Buell, and this turns into one of the worst trades in the history of the Philadelphia Phillies, right up there with the Ryan Sandberg deal.
Well, you know, things happen. You know, a lot of general managers, they think that they're trying to help their ball club by bringing in a veteran. And I'm 21 years old, and I think I had learned how to pitch in the organization. I pitched almost a part of a season and a year, AA, AAA, with their organization, Little Rock in Chattanooga. And I knew how to pitch. Cal McLiss was my pitching coach, and I had him in winter ball, and he's the individual that taught me that slider. And when you learn a certain pitch, you use it effectively, and I was able to do that. And unfortunately, I was involved in a trade, and the trade worked out for me.
Boy, did it ever. You relieved the first year you were in Chicago, but Fergie, you got to thank Leo DeRocher for giving you the opportunity to strike out more than 3,000 batters in your career, because shortly after you got to the Cubs, he was the guy as your manager who converted you from reliever to starter. And had this not happened, there's no telling whether or not you would have struck out more than 3,000 guys.
Right. I joined the ball club in April of 66, and Leo and I had a bit of a talk. He wanted to find out. We had a lot of young players, Holtzman, Hands, Nye, the late Joe Niekro. He wanted to find out how comfortable I was as a pitcher in what position. And I said, well, right, the Phillies have been grooming me for the bullpen. I'd started some in the minor leagues, but when I got to big leagues, they had me in the bullpen, coming out a lot of times long relief. Maybe if the game was out of hand, I got a chance to pitch score 6-1, 9-1, something like that. So I felt comfortable pitching out of the bullpen. I had a bit of a rubber arm, too. I did about 50-some relief appearances, and Leo one afternoon, before we went on the road to go pitch against it or play Atlanta, he said, we're going to give you a start. I said, fine with me. And I ended up beating Atlanta in a start. And from then on, I was a starter.
Gratefully for every fan who loves the Chicago Cubs. It's the bottom of the third inning in San Diego, May 25th, 1982. One out. You have 2,999 career strikeouts when up steps Gary Templeton. What do you remember about him soon to become number 3,000?
Well, I remember the first time I faced him. The guys were trying to bunt. They didn't want to strike out. They're trying to push bunt balls by me. It didn't work. But Gary came up. He had a couple of free swings. I think the count might have been 2-2, and he took a call for a strike. And I'm not sure if he wanted to do it or he just didn't pick the ball up, but I ended up striking him out for my 3,000th strikeout. And I was pretty happy with the fact that I was able to reach a plateau that a lot of pitchers try to get to. I was able to get to it. Game stopped for about 5-6 minutes. They honored me. They took the ball. And, you know, I was pretty happy with the fact that I was able to accomplish that feat. And especially, it was on the road. I would have liked to have done it at home in a home ballpark in Chicago. But it was on the road in San Diego, and I was a pretty happy individual.
What became of the ball? Did it go to Cooperstown, to the Hall of Fame, or did you?
Yes, it did. Yeah. I kept, I think, 3001 and 3002, but the 3000 strikeout ball, Yosh Kawano took it, and I think it was in a couple of days it was sent to Cooperstown.
I don't know if you know this, but our information is, and maybe we're incorrect here because you're the guy who did it, but our information has that you struck him out on three pitches.
Ooh, I don't think it was three. I think I did throw a couple of balls, but it might have been a 2-2 count, but he took a call for a strike.
what did it mean then, and what does it mean now, that accomplishment?
Well, you know, there's a lot of select company. There's a lot more individuals that have done it. I think the last two might have been Schilling and I think Pedro Martinez. You know, striking out 3,000 hitters means that you're durable, you're able to throw strikes. I could throw the ball by people at one time when I was younger. Strikeouts are an important part of the game because of the fact that when you get into a tough situation, maybe with runners on base, a strikeout is an important part of the strategy of the game. So I was able to do that. So when I look back at my career, I'm pretty proud of the fact that I was able to strike that many hitters out and not walk as many or less than 1,000.
At a time in which, Fergie, striking out was the worst thing a batter could do, unlike now where there are tsunamis of strikeouts.
Yeah, it's just something that part of the game now has changed. They want you to go up there to the plate, and if you don't get your pitch, hey, take a call, strike three. Now, that was kind of a no-no in the 60s and 70s when I played. They wanted you to put the ball in play. I just think that the perception now, even if you strike out, there is a reward. You got a guy coming up behind you that can maybe drive in the run. But, the hitters I played with, Sando, Banks, Williams, Kessinger, Beckard, in the American League was Yastrzemski and Carlton Fisk. These guys felt embarrassed when they struck out. So that was just part of their game.
Ferguson Jenkins is with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. You just said it a moment ago. I had mentioned it earlier. You're the only pitcher in Major League history to strike out more than 3,000 batters while walking fewer than 1,000. Did you always have fantastic control? Was this a God-given talent?
Well, I had to work at it. During the winter months, when I started to pitch at the age of 16, 17, I used to throw in a local gymnasium to Gene DeJura. As I mentioned, he was a scout in the area. So I worked at it, but I think because of the fact that I had a pretty good arm. And when I look back now, I didn't have any arm problems. I pitched 21 years in professional baseball. I never had a sore arm. So I consider myself fortunate enough. Maybe it could have been genetics or the proper windup. But I look back, I really enjoyed that fact that I was able to do it with no restriction.
Do you remember going into that season? You're 38 years old. You're in your 18th year. You're a year before packing it in. You were close to 3,000. Was that a goal?
Well, it was brought up a few times with reporters. They would bring it up that, Ferguson, you need X amount of strikeouts to get to that plateau, or you need X amount of wins to get to 300. I just kept working hard to get to that particular situation, staying in shape, making sure that the pitches I tried to make were, maybe not hittable as well as hitters wanted them to be. But, you go out there and you're a pitcher. Sure, you got to throw strikes to the hitter. That's the only way you're going to get them out. And there's situations where guys are going to beat you. They're going to be better that day than you are. But I tried to tell myself that if I was going to go out there to try to help the ball club, I had to try to win. And I think every pitcher dislikes losing, but that's part of their situation.
Winning a lot, 267 wins. There's so many numbers here that are going to live for all time. You threw 4,502 innings. You topped 300 innings four times. We'll never see that again. Now, if a pitcher throws 200 innings, it's a big deal. You led the National League three times in complete games. We never see complete games anymore. You had six straight 200 strikeout seasons. And most impressively, you had six straight 20-win seasons playing in a bandbox called Wrigley Field. These are records, Fergie, that are going to stand forever.
Well, yeah, there's an accomplishment when you go out there, you try to achieve a certain situation in baseball. And I was lucky enough to have good teammates. Winning 20 games, I enjoyed that part of it. I tried to tell people I was consistent and I was dependable. To throw that many innings in 18 years, that was the durable part of it because I never had a sore arm. Every 4 days, I went to the mound. Leo DeRocher had that confidence to put me out there. And I just think that staying healthy was important, staying fit. I kept my body in good shape, and I just told myself that if I was going to perform, I had to perform at a top level every time I pitched against Gibson, Marichal, Seaver, Carlton, whoever the opponent was. I had to go out there to be as durable as he was.
Looking at the contemporary state of pitching, Fergie, what is your theory as to why so many pitchers break down now?
I just think that that speed gun has got into a lot of young pitchers' heads. You don't have to throw 95, 96 to get hitters out. I was able to change speeds. I probably threw the ball maybe low 90s, but I had good control. I could pitch in and out, up and down, and changing speeds is something that I learned in the Philly organization, as I said, under the tutelage of Cal McClish in winter ball, playing in Puerto Rico. Changing speeds, hitters don't like to hit off speed. If you've got a good fastball and you've got a good motion and everything is the same arm angle, I think that hitters can't pick pitches up. And changing speeds is part of what the game's all about.
Do you think it's just that they're just trying to throw harder and hardest?
I think that's hurt some of the young guys, especially to get to the big leagues. They do it in the minor leagues, and then they get to the big leagues. They got to try to prove themselves all over again. And snapping pitches is a pitch that hurts. The curveball and the slider is a pull pitch. It's not a snapping pitch. It's a runner that you can use utilizing your fastball motion, and it's not a pitch that you just snap, pull it. And I think they have to learn that.
One pitcher who has had Tommy John surgery is Matt Harvey. Off to a bad start in New York this season. In 1970, you started 0-4. And I'm making an assumption here that you see a connection between that tough start that you had years ago and what Matt Harvey's going through in 2016.
I think because of the fact that you're a pitcher, you get comfortable throwing certain pitches, and then the hitter's comfortable. You have to make him feel uncomfortable at the plate. I just think that too many pitches in the zone has hurt him. You got to learn to pitch the corners a little more. You got to change the hitter's eye level. Maybe you got to come inside a little more, make the hitter feel a little bit uncomfortable. I just think that pitching and to be effective, you can't throw strikes all the time. So you got to let the hitter know that you're out there. And once he's comfortable, unfortunately, you're going to suffer.
And maybe that's another byproduct of what you were just talking about a moment ago with regard to pounding the zone to just try and impress the hitters with how hard you can throw.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think that they're going to judge a lot of times how you're effective by throwing either speed or control. And you got to put both those scenarios together. I just think over the years, he's been a pitcher that, I can pound it 96, 97. And now that gun says he's not throwing 96, 97. So I think you have to change location and maybe change speeds and make the hitter feel uncomfortable when he comes to the plate. Any athlete that goes on a field of battle, hockey, basketball, football, whatever, when they're comfortable, they're going to get a good performance. And unfortunately right now, the hitters are comfortable against him.
Do you wish you were playing today? Do you wish you were playing today? Wish you were pitching today?
If I was 25 years old, I'd let these guys know what the heck was going on.
It would be a different kind of pitching than what we watch. In 1982, Ferguson Jenkins, as he pitched for the Chicago Cubs at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego, became the seventh pitcher ever to strike out 3,000 batters, joining Walter Johnson, Bob Gibson, Gaylord Perry, Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, and Steve Carlton. What a starting rotation that is. Fergie, thank you so much for your friendship, for your kindness, and for being with me on this show. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it, Ed. Nice talking to you.
So that'll do it for us on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.